Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
What up, dude? Welcome to, what is this, August? It's hot as shit, I'm just guessing. It's raining, probably, and at least for us here in Florida.
Yeah, we're not guessing about it. If it's hot, it's fucking hot all the goddamn time.
Yeah, well, not all the time, but in August, yeah, no. For sure.
Fuck.
It's nasty.
Anyways.
So that's why not stay in, listen to podcasts, watch movies, do both. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, who gives a shit? But make sure you're listening to the Movie Draft House.
Yes.
Which you are.
Before
we... Yeah, I did a little detective work. I'm an investigator.
We've determined that you are listening to the Movie Draft House.
World's greatest detective, me. Damn it. Threw me off my rhythm.
Music this month.
Before we get into what we watched, and it's a new month, so that means a new theme, which also means new music here on the podcast. And we want to give a shout out to the Los Angeles, California hip hop female duo, Flyana Boss.
Oh, I'm on board. I'm going to pull them up so I can listen to them before the episode comes out. But spell the name?
Flyana, Flyana. Boss, Boss.
Came right up. Okay.
I'm gonna bookmark this. How I got turned to them was the TikToks. And
so cool.
They are trending all over TikTok right now because...
And they said, okay. They said, sure. You two idiots can put our music on there.
No, listen. All you do is message people. That's all you got to do is message
people on these dumbass apps. My brief 10-week wrestling podcast, and the person who replied did after it was already done and released. So you have a skill set that I don't think you should sell yourself short on.
I don't. I just pester.
Oh, you're an asshole. Well, I'll take it back.
I'm not an asshole. I'm like, hey, I got this podcast. We got a pretty moderate following. Appreciate it if you let us use your music here on the podcast, you know, and in turn, you know, you get more listeners. Anyways, and so then they, so most of the time, the artists, they'll either see it and they'll respond, and I have not had anybody tell me outright no.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're just like, oh, that's dope. Yeah, go ahead. But occasionally, there's a give and take, you know, hey, you can only use it for this, you know, those 4 weeks or whatever.
Well, that's the plan, man.
Right. So I message Flying to Boston on whoever's running their socials was like, yeah, but can you use this song instead of this song? It's because they have a song that is viral on TikTok right now.
Ooh.
And things, when they go viral, they only stay viral for a brief period of time. I've noticed, and the internet has not debunked this myth. And so they had I don't even know what you call them on TikTok, but these viral videos.
Viral's the word.
Well, no, but it's how they did their video to their own song, and then they had recreations of everybody in the world. This song
in the descriptions.
Yeah, the song here on the podcast is Trash Boy, Trash Boy, B-O-I. It's mellow, but it's witty. I like it. I think these two young ladies are pretty dope. And you should hit all the show notes. You should hit the show notes for all the links in our for their socials. I don't give a fuck. I can't talk right now.
He's good, isn't he, folks?
Yep. Garbage.
No, go check out Flyana Boss, Flyana Boss. I'm a YouTube music user that came right up. Probably find them in all your favorite streaming apps. Also, yeah, check the notes for their socials if you want to give them a follow. Say, hey, what up? The Draft House sent me.
If you look on the YouTube, on their YouTube page, their song You Wish, which is the viral one, has almost 500,000 views. But their other, you know, song on off the same, I guess, EP or whatever, Trash Boy, has nowhere near the listen. So this tells you the discrepancy of viralness.
Yeah. So they're trying to get this next track.
Yeah. So that's why I told them, you know, and they were like, yeah, cool. And I was like, dope. So anyways, Jeff.
Hey.
What's the theme this month?
All right. So in the month of August, we're doing movies starring actors in multiple roles. We had a few caveats. No clones.
No clones.
And then, like, no going back in time and seeing yourself. So, like, we use Marty McFly as a point. If Marty McFly goes and sees himself, that's not two roles. That's one role. But if he goes and he sees Seamus, who is played by Michael J. Fox, those are two different characters played by the same actor. Makes sense. So we did that. And Mark, you selected Mars Attacks from 1994, directed by Tim Burton.
1996.
1996, directed by Tim Burton, written by Lynn Brown, Woody Gelman, Wally Wood. So let's run down this cast right quick, because this movie is out of control stacked with names.
Yeah.
This is what you would call an ensemble.
This is an ensemble.
Now, Jack Nicholson is the person who's playing two roles.
Yep.
And fortunately, both of those characters are throughout the bulk of the runtime.
Yep.
So meets the theme. Well done.
Yay.
Bare minimum. But we got Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker, Annette Bening, Glenn Close, Danny DeVito, Martin Short, Michael J. Fox, Tom Jones, Natalie Portman, Chicago Bears running back Jim Brown, Jack Black, Pam Grier from Jackie Brown fame, my favorite Quentin Tarantino film.
RJ. Did you recognize RJ in the film?
RJ Fletcher? Who?
RJ of porn tape, sex tape fame with what's her face? The Kardashian, Kim Kardashian.
No, you mean Ray J?
Ray J. Yeah.
You said RJ.
Oh, did I say RJ? Well, technically it is RJ, but
no, RJ Fletcher is.
I don't know who R.J. Fletcher is. Should I know who R.J. Fletcher is?
Well, if you podcast with me, you should, but most normal people would.
You have never said that name here on the podcast.
Yeah, but you've seen the movie UHF? No? We'll make it happen. No, we won't, because I don't want you to ruin one of my favorite films. But it's from the movie UHF starring Weird Al Yankovic. Anyway, I'm surprised he didn't pop up in this. Also, I forgot to mention Christina Applegate also makes a brief appearance, and largely, most of this cast makes pretty brief appearances.
Yeah, I mean, no more than like 15 minutes, maybe.
Some of them even, like Danny DeVito, shows up at the tail end of the movie.
I think 5 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, and wasted's a strong word, because I don't think they wanted to do anything. How did this happen? These are my questions.
All right. So I have answers to all of this.
I want to know how Mars Attacks got made and why they have the cast they do. Because
I did some research on Mars Attacks.
Tim Burton, of course, obviously can make what he wants, probably at this point. We're post-Batman. But I don't understand why this cast is here.
All right. So this film was slated to come out in the summer of 96, right? All right. It got pushed back to December of 96 because of another immensely popular alien invasion film.
Would that be Independence Day?
That would be Independence Day.
I'll save my opinion as to which one's better, but I do have one.
Okay. And so Warner Brothers decided to push it back, and that was more or less after the film had been made, and so how this film got made was Tim Burton wanted to make a kind of just a funny, lighthearted film about the end of the world. And originally he wanted to make Dinosaurs Attacks. All right. But Steven, and it was going to be about dinosaurs attacking humans. People.
Now, Jurassic Park was what, 96?
The second one. What was the second one?
Lost World.
Lost World, right. And so...
it was 97.
Yeah, and so he knew Spielberg was making this film, so he's like, okay, we'll make it about aliens, because he had this card set, the weird comic book card set. It was gifted to him, and it was about aliens. It was about Martians and invading Earth. It's weird. It's a weird story, and I don't know like where they got these cards. But somebody gave him these cards, and the picture of a Martian with a ray gun was on the back of it. And he's like, that's my next movie. And so he wanted to make a satirical film. He wanted to make fun of how people treat certain things and the hysteria behind
events.
But like how hysteria behind how humans would treat being contacted by aliens for the first time. So he wrote this film, or helped write the film, took it to Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, well, hey, that's the movie I'm making. You either like it or you don't. And Warner Brothers was like, well, we're not going to make this movie. And
yeah.
Tim Burton's like, you're going to make this movie, or I'm not going to make a movie. And they were like, well, you're kind of Tim Burton, so okay. And so then they're like, well, here's your budget. It's $70 million, which was in 96, I guess, pretty high.
And it blew it all on I guess.
It was all on VFX.
Really? So how did he get all the people? These are the questions.
Right,
that is
so,
the question.
So he wanted Harrison Ford originally for the president. Harrison Ford had commitments to other film. I don't know what movie. But Jack Nicholson, they had to pay him $5 million per day? I don't know. It was an exorbitant amount of money for how much.
So let's screen time. Real quick, I've got the box office here. So $70
million. Yeah.
Opening weekend, $9.3 million.
Right. It was a flop.
$37.7 million gross U.S., and in the world.
But it made more internationally, right?
Yeah, but it didn't. I mean, it made back the budget for the film, but the advertising and all that. So it's probably an overall loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Tim Burton is on record saying, hey, sometimes you make shit that people just don't like.
Yeah. That's the best attitude. That I love that, because. Like, he didn't go, hey, people don't get it. Hey, people didn't like this. Oh, well.
Right.
Sometimes that's what happens, because, and I've learned through Spielberg and Hitchcock, you're just going to make some shit that people don't like, and that's okay.
Well, and for a director like Burton, who has this vast filmography, there are going to be some just
duds.
Films. You're right. Films that just don't hit. And even if I enjoyed this film, commercially it was a flop. Warner Brothers, it's on record that Warner Brothers, because this film flopped so hard that it did, Warner Brothers cut ties with Tim Burton, even though he had signed on to make a Superman film.
That's why
with Nicolas Cage, and he had done all these test screens and all this with
that movie
Nick Cage in the
suck,
suit.
By the way,
right? Yeah, no. Warner Brothers made the right call.
Tim Burton applying to Batman makes a lot more sense than Superman.
Yes.
So let me ask this question: How the fuck did they get all these people?
So
and why?
So, right. So, they wanted Pierce Brosnan was coming off of James Bond, and Pierce Brosnan, I guess, agent had put it out there that he wanted to do something lighthearted and less actiony and serious than his James Bond role. And so Tim Burton went to Pierce Brosnan and was like, hey, you got this role. It's a scientist, and this is a satirical film. We're making fun of people. We're making fun of the human race. And Pierce Brosnan was like, dope, sign me up.
Need to look at the script.
Danny DeVito went to approach Tim Burton, was like, hey, I hear you're making this movie. Whatever role you have, I'll take it. Because he said he's on record of saying I'll be in anything that Tim Burton does. And he has been in a lot of Tim Burton films.
So prior to this would have been Batman.
Batman Returns, right.
What other I'll research that, but the only thing I know of was when he played Penguin in Batman Returns.
Michael J. Fox was, you know, coming in the middle of, not in the middle, post Back to the Future.
Right.
And, you know, was a big name. And Tim Burton and the producers approached pretty much all of these actors and was like, hey, we're making this film, and it's just making fun of things. It's not serious. It's about Martians attacking and they get killed with a song. And so Jim Brown is the outlier here, where he was actually trying to jumpstart a movie career, and viewed this as, I guess, his vehicle to do so.
Yeah.
Most everybody in the film. Oh, Jack Black.
Go ahead.
He got Jack Black, and apparently Jack Black was a theater kid prior to this role, and I think this is one of Jack Black's first films.
Yeah, he's super young.
Yeah, and so I don't know. You know, a lot of these folks, like Lucas Haas, who plays.
Who's arguably the main character?
Yeah, right. He said that he walked in, he walked into the audition and Tim Burton didn't even listen to him. He just looked at him and said, you got it. And so that's how serious Tim Burton was about who was going to be in the film. Tim Burton had already had such a back and forth with Warner Brothers to get the film greenlit that at the point where he was casting, he was like, I don't give a fuck. Play that role. I don't care.
Boy, it shows. So let's talk about our history then. Because I saw this shit in theaters. And
so did I.
I did not enjoy it my first viewing. And I don't know if I've watched it again since. I feel like I have. And I didn't particularly have a high opinion of it going into this viewing.
I too saw it in theaters. I went with my mom, my aunt, my uncle, I think. And I just remember it being just like weird. I remember enjoying the aliens. It's because they're funny. They're, you know, very just not serious. And I don't remember how I felt initially after watching it.
Yeah.
But I've seen it several times since. This is probably my fifth or sixth viewing of this film.
Really?
And yeah. And while it's not my favorite alien movie or invasion movie or anything like disaster movie, it's still an entertaining film for me. I think Jack Nicholson is awesome here. I think the bit parts that everybody plays along the way, they don't overstay their welcome. Probably Pierce Brosnan and what's her face, Sarah Jessica Parker. They're probably two of the most annoying characters. But
I did not enjoy this again for the third time. I didn't like it, and a lot of it comes down to there are no characters to care about. The only sympathetic character is that one kid who tries to save his grandma, you know. And the other thing, and I think the fatal flaw for me, is that, as you said, this is meant to be a comedy, and it is not funny. I can think of maybe one to two lines, one of them being, I can tell you this, they're not going to get the TV. I thought that was a funny line. That was about it. there's a lot of weird visual gags, like them bowling, the alien ships having a ball that they bowl and knock over those Mayan heads, or I'm probably wrong with what those are, but it's a lot of that. There are, I do like the part where near the end where they're killing everyone. They're like, don't run. We're your friends. Don't run. Right. That's kind of, that's funny. But outside of that, I just sat here being like, good Lord. Like, to have this cast and to have it lack character. I mean, because I guess the movie has character, and you're right, it's mostly the aliens. I really like the alien woman that comes down and Martin Short tries to seduce her. I think that the and it's something that Burton does well, is those visual creations, his style, and it works here, especially with that alien character. And I think it is a visually appealing movie, to give it a positive thing, but it's largely just not interesting.
Yeah. So I also read that Tim Burton originally wanted to make this a stop motion film. And they went so far as to make a bunch of sets and a bunch of claymation characters, and it was just going to be too much money, I guess. And they're going to blow all their budget on just, so
he was going to try to do
like James and the Giant Peach
Halloween
type shit.
One, yeah. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. And so then I guess somebody from his production showed him some VFX of like an alien design and the flying saucer ships. And he was like, oh my God, that's so cool looking and whatnot. And he's like, sold, let's do that then. And so they spent like half of their budget on the VFX, and then the rest of it went to, the rest of the movie. But I at an hour 30, I think, what, hour 30, hour
45? 146.
It's a brisk watch. It doesn't get hemmed up anywhere.
I don't know that I feel that way, because while there's always something happening, none of it is progressing any sort of narrative.
The only narrative here is that there's these aliens trying to invade Earth.
Right. And that's not enough. To compare to another alien invasion film, War of the Worlds, directed by Steven Spielberg, there's the story arc of him and his family and the things they're going through and the relationship with his daughter, and you care about them and you want them to survive. And I know that that's a drama.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be a comedy. But I don't care. Like, everybody is so unlikable that them blowing up is like the best possible thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so the commentary on hysteria and just the outlandish ideas behind how people would treat certain things. I think the message Burton is attempting to send with the movie is that, hey, we're fucked if this really happens, is because you idiots will be you'll be fawning over this bullshit that we're all going to die anyway.
So let's get talk about it, because there are two generals in this film.
Yeah.
And the president's not sure what to do, and so he listens to the counsel of the scientist, Pierce Brosnan, and he has two separate generals. One of them is like, let's just blow them up. And the other one is like, well, let's wait and see. And we find out that maybe blow them up is the right tactic. So is the message blow shit up first?
I don't think the point was to make a determination of whether to be nice or like diplomatic or, blow shit up immediately. I think the message was more, hey, you buffoons would be too busy fawning over how to make money off of this, commercializing an alien invasion to really actually give a shit about actually what's happening, make important decisions and that type of thing. I enjoyed this every time I watch this movie. I enjoy it simply because I'm a big Jack Nicholson fan. One, I'll watch anything he's in. I haven't seen everything he's in, but I've seen a lot. And he's vastly entertaining. Just his delivery of lines, and he's playing two roles here. So that's the whole reason we're here and watching this film, is that he plays the president of the United States, and he plays a casino owner. And as the president, he is he's trying to play this diplomat, and he really doesn't know what he's doing. And he's relying on the people around him. And as the casino owner, he's kind of a hotshot, a tycoon, maybe.
Yeah, tycoon's a good word. He is like, he looks like a Texas oil tycoon, but yeah, makes his residence in wherever the hell's Vegas. And
Vegas.
Like,
I like this movie
more. I'd like you to have the space to express that, because I'm so unimpressed that it's hard to find things to talk about without shitting on it.
I enjoy Jim Brown's performance. I think every time I see it, I'm like this dude, he's an action film.
He could
guy.
Do something. I'm with you on that. I thought he's the other likable character, right? He's a divorcee, and his wife is Pam Grier, and he has two young boys, and he's working to try to pay for them and get his life back on track and get back with his family. And so that at least is a character you can kind of root for and get behind. But he's never on the screen. Like, and I think that's everyone, though. Like, Jack Nicholson obviously gets the most airtime, but none of the characters are on the screen long enough to care about them or to be invested in any of it.
I think this is a film, like, these type of films didn't really exist until the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s.
How many films are like this?
No, like, I'm talking about, like, more, like, ensemble film, like the, with the super large cast.
Oh, movie 43 or whatever the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That movie. I've never seen it, but I heard it's garbage.
I haven't seen it either, and I have no desire to. But, yeah. But like, I think just Tim Burton was just trying to throw a bunch of people in a movie, and he had garnered the reputation to this point where people wanted to be in a Tim Burton film. Now it backfired on him and on all those people that decided.
Hey, they got paid. And how many careers did this kill? Jim Brown's.
None.
And that's it. But like, none of the other established stars really took a hit for this.
It's a film that I think it's a film that deserves to be watched because it's by an iconic director, and it has a bunch of legendary actors in it. But at the end of the day, you're not missing anything if you don't watch it. But
yeah, I mean, when the draw is, it's, you should watch it, it's directed by Tim Burton and stars everyone, I don't know that that's enough of an endorsement for me to go to the theater. Just, it's got everyone in it. Yeah, what's the story?
In the 90s, was Tim Burton a draw to get you to the theater?
I don't know that I was into directors back then. I don't know that any director ever was a draw. I was more like, watch the trailer and then decide. Because there are a lot of things that he directed that I didn't know about or anything like that. So, And the only person who brought my ass to the theater is Van Damme, and we'll get to that in a couple weeks.
God damn it. Damn it, Van Damme.
He's the best.
But I just, you know, so you paid to watch this.
Yeah, I fucked up. Right. You're right. No, it's $4. It's fine. But what you're going to ask a question?
I watch it on Daily Motion.
Really?
Yeah. I text you. I mean,
did that, it was that damn Gold Diggers movie.
Right. I just had a whirlwind kind of past 3 days, and I didn't have time to go to Illegitimate Means, and I didn't want to pay $4 to watch this. But I watched it on Daily Motion. It was fine. All right. So what did you think of Glenn Close as the first lady here?
I think so. That's the flip side. Everyone's unlikable, but they all do a great job of being unlikable, right? So Glenn Close is even more unlikable than her husband, who's really, I mean, the president isn't
he's not unlikable, right?
He's trying, right? You know, he's asking his counselors, he's taking their advice and then making a decision. He's doing what he should do. So I don't think that he's necessarily a bad person. Or at least unlikable, but she is very much unlikable. She does not care for her daughter. Jack Nicholson seems to be too busy to do it, but he's also the president. So fair enough. But she does a great job of just being that sort of uppity, I'm going to remodel shit to make it look better or whatever. I don't know. Like, it was fine. She did what she came to do. I was fine with it.
Okay, out of all of the people that died in this film, what was the best death?
Probably Michael J. Fox. I mean, because the whole thing with him being melted and just having the hand left as she's reaching out for it. I mean, probably that. Then maybe Jack Nicholson is fine. I don't know.
That's fine.
I just so, like, everything about this movie is the same response. Like, how'd you feel about this? Yeah, well, I guess it was fine. I don't care. Like, this movie's ass fudge. And the more I talk about it, the more I dislike it. Let's talk about the alien design, I guess.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about the alien design.
They look menacing and dangerous.
I mean, they're pretty much like skeletons with big brains.
Yeah, what about the one that just ran around the spaceship in his underwear the whole movie? That was good.
That's the best gig to have on the spaceship.
Just running around in his pants.
You don't got to go to Earth. You ain't got to
just
get...
stay up here. It's like the pandemic. Me during the pandemic, I only wore my underpants for like 3 years. It was great.
Same pair?
Sometimes. I washed them.
So I'm not going to judge.
I'm not rich. I don't have like 6-7 pairs of underwear.
I didn't know that was a mark of being rich. You know, Hey, how do you know I got a bunch of money? Well, I got a bunch of fucking pairs of underwear.
Check out my underwear drawer, bro. Look at this shit. You know I'm
solid
getting
paid. Gold.
That one there is Fruit of the Loom. Not that Walmart bullshit.
I don't know what else to say. I mean,
this movie
I don't know
sucks. I mean, and I can understand why you like it and have maybe nostalgia for it. Because the one thing I can say is I can't think of another movie like this. And that's probably for good reason, right? Like, he made this, people went, and then everyone else went, all right, I ain't making that shit or anything close to it. You know, it didn't catch on. It wasn't a thing.
Movies don't get made like that anymore.
Like what? They don't get made like this because it sucks.
No, but like, Tim Burton had carte blanche to make the movie he wanted.
Yes, and that almost always ends in disaster.
Sure, but studios largely do not allow directors. You have to be like A-list of the A-list tier of directors to get that type of carte blanche these days. I would say there's probably three directors maybe working today.
Nolan, Spielberg, and
Scorsese. Those are the three that I'm
Tarantino.
Thinking
of.
I don't know.
Tarantino can make whatever he wants. I think he has and does.
Okay, but that's with one particular studio. He was a Fox guy, you know. What is it? 20th Century Fox guy. I think it was 20th Century Fox. I don't know.
I thought he
Miramax.
Was New Line or Miramax. New Line. He was with what's his name? Him. The fucking rapist guy. Steinberg.
That wasn't fine. It wasn't any of those names.
George Steinbrenner. No, that's baseball.
Not the former Yankees owner.
I agree. But I can point at movies where it's like, make whatever you want. You've done it. You know, I think of specifically Gus Van Sant made, what was that damn movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, the like breakout one? Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
He made that movie, and so he could pretty much walk into the studio and make whatever the fuck he wanted. So I said, I'm going to remake Psycho. And that shit was horrible.
Sure.
He sucks.
But, like, he sucks.
And that's actually kind of a good parallel. Because I can't think of another movie like Psycho 1998 where it's a shot for shot, line for line remake. There are only a handful of dialogue changes in that movie. But otherwise, it's shot for shot. And I can't think of another movie that just said, fuck it, we're doing the same exact shit again. And in that way, it's this own freak film that's out there. And maybe you want to check it out because there's nothing else like it. But it's not good. And that's how I feel about this. There's nothing else like it. And it's not good. There's a reason.
But And you may be correct, but I do think that directors given the freedom to make whatever they want, and the studio's like, okay, this is what wasn't what we thought, but we'll still put it out. It just largely doesn't happen anymore. And so... in the mid-90s, when Tim Burton, in his heyday, makes this weird fucking movie about, you know, Martians invading, and this look weird, and it's a satire film, and it's not what Warner Brothers was thinking, and it commercially flops. Well, it didn't kill Burton's career, but it did change probably
Warner
Brothers'
philosophy.
The next
time you went there saying, this is the shit I'm going to make, they're like, no, the fuck you're not.
Right.
We're going to make this. Yes, sir.
So he probably ruined it for future directors. But I do think that there is some creative juices here that would not have gotten the chance to flow at other points in time.
Fair enough. But let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
I have several podcasts out there where I'm by myself. And when I'm by myself and I'm just yelling into the microphone, the shit just is chaos. It just doesn't make any sense. It's madness. And it really only ever entertains me, and I'm aware of that. And it's put out there for free. If people want to listen to it and be like, this is shit, I'll be like, you know, hey, fair enough. I didn't have anybody give me feedback. I just made some stupid shit. And I think it's funny. That's good enough. That's fine. That's not a reason to go seek out my podcasts. And there's no reason to watch this damn movie.
No, there's no... Right. Unless you're a Tim Burton, you know, connoisseur.
And you've probably already seen it.
Right. I agree that there's no real reason to seek this movie out. Other than it's probably got like some cult status to it now.
That's what I thought, is that because the aliens are so white. Like, if you show someone a picture of those aliens, they'll be like, the Mars Attacks aliens, right? You know, I think you could probably show someone a picture of the aliens from the aforementioned Independence Day, and a lot of people would be like,
right.
Shit, I'm not. Is that like Predator? You know, right. But these, and that's Tim Burton's wheelhouse, is visually memorable things. And so I think there probably is a cult following around this, because that I think those aliens, if you show them to someone, they're going to know immediately what it's from.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I mean, even if this is a flop of a film, I think it's a 90s staple. I think you can't go through the 90s filmography without acknowledging Mars Attacks.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you could. There's a lot of good stuff in the 90s. Watch Basic Instinct instead. Just watch that shit. Now that's a staple. I love that movie. I'm going to watch it again.
Paul Verhoeven, chronologically, coming
that's
soon.
My dude.
All right, Jeff. So do you recommend this one?
No, this is a piece of shit. It's not a total waste of time, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. I did not enjoy this whatsoever, and I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I'm going to try not to.
I love our podcast because we can disagree and agree on certain things, and then I'm still going to recommend this one because I think it is an entertaining. It's not a mess, but it's an entertaining oddity.
Oddity is a good word.
Yeah, it's entertaining, and it's, and I don't think you'll ever get this collection.
You want to put your name on it? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, you'll never get this collection of actors together again. This is the only time they've all been in the same movie, and it's so weird how this thing got made, and I just think it deserves to be seen, even if it's not a good film. I will recommend it because of that, because it is such a unique film. But I understand why, like, you don't like it. I don't understand why it flopped, you know, at the box office.
I'm actually kind of curious as to why it flopped. Because that, as you say that, I don't know what its week one was. But I would think that, and of course, it's a different era. You know, movies aren't like, nowadays it's like you make all your money in the first week or two. Right. And then after that, you know. But I think back then, you know, movies would be in theaters for months and months as opposed to weeks and weeks.
Oh yeah, you didn't have the volume of films either. So.
Right, and so for that to flop as it did is, it actually kind of surprises me because of everyone that's in this movie and the prestige of Tim Burton. Those trailers must have really sucked ass for people to not go. Like, people watching on TV like, nope, no thanks.
I don't remember the trailer, and I could probably, you know, you go back and watch it, but
it got me in the theater.
Right, and me too, but, like, I think it was more because I was a young Jack Nicholson fan. And I think probably to that point in my life, as a probably 15-year-old, the only movie I had seen him in was 89 Batman, where he's the Joker. And so I don't have a good, you know, recollection of how I felt after the movie, but it was intriguing to me after the fact that I did remember my mom buying the VHS when it came out on video, and just having it on the shelf and, you know, being able to pop it in the VCR when I wanted to, and that was it.
I'm with you. Listen, I get it. Like, I could show someone Bloodsport, and I'm like, this sucks. The acting is stilted. The dialogue is balls. I don't get it. Fair enough. I get that. It's still Van Damme, and he spin kicks the shit out of Bolo Ying, and I'm on board. But I forgot where I was going to go with that. I had an idea for something, and it's gone.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
Well, it involved Van Damme, so you probably already said it here on
the podcast. No, it wasn't. Sadly.
Anyways, so we're going to split this recommendation.
Oh, so I don't have a lot of hope this month. Last month was so amazing. And this month, I just got this feeling, man, that it's... We're just not going to have any great, like, great films. It may not be. You know, what was the last one you picked?
For this month?
Yeah.
Shit, what was the last one I picked?
Because I picked Double Impact, which I'm going to love, and you're probably not. And then Legend, which I've heard isn't that great.
Damn, Mars Attacks. And what was the other one?
Oh, well, no, and then we got The Prestige, which is good. But what was the other one that you picked? Damn. We didn't write it down. It's in the recording somewhere, so we can find it. But
that's how professional we are.
I don't remember what you picked.
Damn, what did I pick? Did I put it in my phone?
You wrote it down.
Did I?
To draft.
Oh, I did. No, okay, here we go. The Fountain.
It's here. Oh, yeah, that's going to suck big time.
It's got Hugh Jackman. It can't suck that much.
Bro, you underestimate the power of Darren Aronofsky and his ability to just create shit out of diamonds.
So we've only reviewed one Darren Aronofsky film here on the podcast.
Oh, and it was ass butt to the fullest.
And we split that recommendation as well.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes.
So what are we watching next week?
So next week, we're going to watch a middling average film as far as like reviewers are concerned. It's Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy and the mobstery film Legend, where he's playing twins.
I love how you are not even about excited.
And I picked it, right? No, because when
you're,
I saw
you're the- just like, fuck this movie.
Well, no, I when I saw the trailers, it's like, oh, that looks good. Like, I like mobstery movies.
Right.
And Tom Hardy's a good actor, and he plays two characters, and I largely find, as long as he's not trying to be funny, I largely find Tom Hardy to be a very entertaining actor.
Sure.
Hey, maybe it'll be good. You know?
Maybe.
Like, because a lot of times, there are movies that people hate that I actually enjoy, you know, so.
What is it streaming on? Nothing, probably.
The same Daily Motion?
I will probably go to Legitimate Means.
It's not streaming anywhere, so right. Yeah. Daily Motion.
Oh, well. Anyways, I want to give another shout out to the music this month. Flyanna Boss with their song Trash Boy. You can hit the show notes and get all the links to follow them on all their social media accounts. We appreciate them allowing us to use their music here on the podcast. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, on all of the social medias.
We're like everywhere now. We're on.
Yeah, we are everywhere.
MySpace.
Yep. Hey, there's a new social media app. Did you hear? Threads.
What's the deal?
It's owned by Meta.
Oh God, don't do it.
But it's the latest craze. It's supposed to be a Twitter killer. You know, it's Mark Zuckerberg's take on
Twitter's on the ropes anyway. It shouldn't take much.
Yeah, right. So, anyways, you can hit the show notes to get all of the links to our social media accounts. However, if you're just searching up at Movie Draft House, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube. If you're watching this, you've already found us, but make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future content, like our new feature.
This is ours. Feature.
I say ours is because I'm anticipating future contributions from you.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're doing a new feature, 5-minute reviews over on YouTube. It's where we're just reviewing anything we've watched in 5 minutes or less and giving you our recommendations. So
yeah, I've been trudging my way through a film. And, of course, by the time this comes out, maybe I'll have contributed to 5-minute reviews.
Maybe. I'm not going to hold my breath, but.
No, I probably. Yeah, hold your breath. I just want to watch.
Anyways, If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey, man, M. Night or chronologically.
Don't even worry. I don't even know what the shit's called.
Right. You can find him on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff and just make sure you tell him, hey, we're going to need a Tim Burton chronologically soon.
It's on the list, A, because it's Tim Burton, but probably not for a little while. Certainly the next season is already kind of planned. Anyway, check out chronologically M. Night Shyamalan wherever you get your podcast. You can find the full season of Spielberg there as well as my run through Hitchcock.
The first episode would have dropped yesterday if you're listening to this.
There you go. Check out the first episode where we take a look at Praying with Anger, an independent film directed by, and it looks like it was filmed on VHS by M. Night Shyamalan, starring... written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. He plays the lead. Okay. It's a film. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with Mark and be like, man, you got them editing skills down, buddy. I saw how you put that picture of that one thing in there. You can do so when I heard you liked on Twitter.
Yeah, my editing skills are increasing as we go along.
You're doing... the Lord's work, my friend.
I am doing the Lord's work. I feel like I'm Timbaland, but with the videos.
You feel like you're Tim Burton with videos?
Yeah, that him too. Especially Mars Attacks Tim Burton.
He needs to learn to edit on that.
Anyways,
what's your favorite Tim Burton movie?
Oh, what's my favorite Tim Burton movie? Okay. Shit. It's probably Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, mine's Batman 89, but a close second.
That's close second. Yeah.
Close second for me would be Big Fish.
Okay.
Have you seen Big Fish?
Yeah, I have.
Big Fish is very good.
He's super talented and like not all of his shit sticks, but a good chunk of it does.
I would say largely that I enjoy 50% of his work. Yeah, sometimes you got to sit through the Chocolate Factory to get to Big Fish, but then you watch Big Fish, it's amazing.
But I didn't hate, you know, what's his face in the Chocolate Factory. I thought it was an okay take on the original, and I see why people did not enjoy it. But for you, you know, you go into those movies going, "Hey, this is a Tim Burton film." Okay, hey, Sweeney Todd. This is a Tim Burton film also starring Johnny Depp. This is what I'm getting.
That's kind of where I started falling off is the Depp collaborations with him, where I was like, I'm sick of this dude.
but Sweeney Todd, it's a musical. So it's like out of his, you know, out of his wheelhouse a little bit. And that's what I enjoy about these iconic directors is like Spielberg, you know, West Side Story being... you know, his first musical. And it largely hit. And so I enjoy a director that steps out of their comfort zone a little bit, steps out of the box, and takes a swing. Now, sometimes, you know, it's a home run. Sometimes you strike out. But you're still an icon in the movie business, and your shit still deserves to be seen. Now, what I did not know about Tim Burton was that he was a producer on Batman Forever. That's weird. But
that was probably in name only, I would bet. I would bet that because Schumacher messed those movies up so hard, so.
But like with every every hit for like Beetle with every Beetlejuice or Batman 89 you have from Tim Burton, you get a Planet of the Apes or what's the other one? Frankenweenie. No, Frankenweenie.
I think you're on record as saying you like Frankenweenie.
I do enjoy Frankenweenie. I was thinking Dark Shadows.
It's like a vampire one I've never seen.
Or Dumbo.
I put it this way. He has that, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, which is an amazing all-time classic. And then he did The Corpse Bride, which is boring as shit. So then they're both like stop-motion-y thing.
Looking through his filmography, Beetlejuice might be up in the realm of favorites, as well. But
I have Batman 89 largely memorized. Not like I can't do it off the cuff, but if I'm watching the movie, I can do every beat of it. Like there's so many things in that movie that are iconic to me. I'll have to rewatch it at some point. I love it.
You know, but like Sleepy Hollow, that movie sucked.
Christina Ricci month.
Oh, hey. Hit the back catalog. I don't know. We're gonna get back to Sweeney Todd, though. I want to watch that again. I don't want to do it here on the podcast. Anyways, hey, Jeff, do you have any words of wisdom?
Yeah. Even in a time of intergalactic crisis, people still want to roll them bones. I've seen that boy is treasure. He don't even text me back now. And he be making me mad, yeah. Wish I ain't give him a chance.
Excuses I made for this trifling ass nigga. Now he put the blame on me. Go figure. But don't pity me, put the pity on him. To lose a queen, checkmate, that's the end.